This is Twit.
I only got Surface Pro 8. I didn't get the laptop Studio or Surface Go 3. I, as a power user for myself, selfishly, I'm more interested in Surface Laptop Studio. But as a fan of Surface and the brand, and as someone who, you know, watches Microsoft, I mean, Surface Pro is Surface, right? It's more popular than everything else combined. It is by far the most popular and influential PC Microsoft has ever released. And it has only had two designs, right? There's the initial design that was on 1 and 2, 16:9, kind of a thick tablet. And then there was the design that debuted with Surface Pro 3, which I mean, off the top of my head, was I don't even remember what year that was. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Long time ago. And that design is where they debuted the 3x2 display. And I think that's where it kind of came into its own. It's sort of like, you know, the MacBook Air. Everyone thinks about how they pulled it out of the envelope and everything. But what people forget is the first MacBook Air was terrible. Nobody ever talks about that. Mm-hmm. The iconic design was the second one. And for Microsoft, the iconic design was, well, the third one, but it was the second design, same thing, the second rev. And so they're continuing with the basics, but now, you know, the screen's bigger, 13 inches, like we saw on Surface Pro X 2 years ago. New pin connector for the keyboard on the bottom, which has not happened since Surface Pro 3. Same Surface Connect port on the side for power and expansion, but also two Thunderbolt 4 ports, which is huge, right? It's a beautiful machine. One thing I didn't get to in my little first impressions article, because I've been, of course, using it. I've only had it for a few days, right? So since then, watching content on this thing, oh God, it's awesome. Dolby Vision. And there's something about the speakers. I was watching a movie last night and there were specific scenes where someone was walking in off camera from the left through the snow. And I could hear the crunching approaching me from the distance. It was an impressive effect. You know, I don't know what to call that, if it's Dolby Atmos or I don't know what that is, but it was awesome. It's a really neat kind of media effect. So they've updated the Surface Pro signature keyboard. By the way, they got rid of the type cover name, so they're not called type covers anymore. Now it's a keyboard. Same thing though. It's integrated touchpad. It has that little well for the pen where it charges. And it does the same dual height, you know, you can have it flat or at an angle and all that kind of stuff. Same good typing experience, full-size keyboard, backlit, et cetera, et cetera. Carpenter's pencil, I got to say, I was sort of an artist in my earlier life. And the one thing I think of with a carpenter's pencil is that those aren't used for art, usually. They're used by carpenters and they used to mark something up quickly and then it gets covered over by whatever they're building. Why would you use that form factor for a pen that's going to be used for art and note-taking? It's not very comfortable to hold. And I think the reason is it's flat and they can sit on the keyboard and they can close it.
Yeah.
So, okay. You know,
and they're calling it a carpenter's pencil. So you think, oh, isn't that twee? But it's really just a
convenience. I don't know. Anyway, try to do the math on this one. This is kind of interesting. There's unique hardware inside of Surface Pro 8 and Surface Laptop Studio that interacts with the pen and makes it better if you use them in conjunction. There's unique hardware in the Surface Slim Pen 2 only that provides haptic feedback and interacts with that custom chip and those two computers. There's custom software in Windows 11 only that makes this whole interaction work as best as it can. And you need specific applications to be custom tailored for this whole combination for them to work at all, right? Now, the list of those applications is pretty short. Off the top of my head, I'm not going to remember all of them, but it is, you know, Whiteboard is in there. Microsoft Word is in there. Some third-party apps are in there. OneNote, by the way, not in there, which is kind of interesting. But we know OneNote is making its own transition to the new desktop version. That's probably not going to happen until next year, so maybe that's part of that. I don't know. I had a hell of a time getting haptics to work on this thing. And in my case, I had to turn the haptics up all the way. And the idea behind the haptics is as you're drawing on the screen, it's giving you a little bit of a wobble. And if you think about paper, we think of paper as flat, but if you look at paper really closely, you know, paper has little bumps and ridges and stuff. And as you move a pen or pencil over it, it's actually kind of adhering to the contour of that physical thing. And they're trying to emulate that through haptics. And it's subtle, I think. I'm not sure it's 100% successful. It's, I don't know. It's okay. But the whole of those things together, the Surface Pro 8, the Surface Pro Signature Keyboard, the Surface Slim Pen 2, is exactly what people who love Surface Pro have been calling for years. And it's going to make people very, very happy. I don't know if we've brought this up on this show, but one complaint I've seen is that the price has gone up. And that's technically true. But there are two big changes between previous Surface Pros and Surface Pro 8 with regards to how they're pricing things. One is that they don't have a Core i3 version anymore. And that version was kind of junky, honestly. Really low powered. And the other difference is, and they don't have that anymore, so it's Core i5 and Core i7 only. The other big difference is that the Core i3 and Core i5 versions of the product on Surface Pro 7 and 6, and I don't remember how far back, did not have a fan. So they were passively cooled. But that meant the processor was throttled as well. And as the thing heated up, it would get throttled more and more. So now it's all active cooling. It's very quiet. I've never actually heard the fan come on in any meaningful way. And the Core i5 product starts at $1,100. The Core i5 version of Surface Pro 7 started at $1,200 a year ago. I think it was a year, whenever it came out a year ago. Call it a year ago. It's actually, in that sense, kind of a price reduction. But the keyboard and the pen are actually more expensive. So I guess it kind of balances out. But it's a premium PC, folks. You know, so an $1,100 plus computer with a $130 pen and I don't remember the exact price, $160 or $170 even, you know, whatever the total cost is. It's expensive, but it's I think it's in line with other premium computers, and it's beautiful. I mean, it works really, really well.
So last week or the week before, we pointed out that both you and Mary Jo and me, all three of us, mm-hmm. rarely recommended a Surface to anybody.
Yeah.
does this change your tune on that?
Well, as I told Mary Jo privately the other day, I was preparing my screenshots for my Windows 11 review using that device because it's a very clean installer. It was at the time very clean install of Windows. And it froze up on me while I was doing it.
Oh, my God.
Nothing would work. I control absolutely nothing. So I had to hold down the power button, shut the thing down. You know, you wait 10, 20, 30 seconds, power it up, nothing happens. And I'm like, oh, man, here we go. So this is the Surface reliability that I'm familiar with and worried about. And to cut to the chase, it did eventually come up, of course, and it, you know, within, say, 15 or 20 minutes. I did experience a problem again with it not working right. It didn't freeze completely, but then it was okay. It has been okay since. So this was probably, Monday, I think, when this happened. I've only had it since last Thursday. So that's the only time that's happened. I feel obligated just to mention that it happened. But when I prepare the final review, say in 2 or 3 weeks, I'll have a lot more experience under my belt. And we'll see. Yeah, this is the fear, right? I mean,
yeah.
And unfortunately, you kind of go into it with your experience as in the back of your head, and I'm nervous about Surface. And so when something like that happens, I'm like, you know, like, here we go. But honestly, overall, it's been fine. But again, it would be disingenuous of me not to at least mention that this did happen. So far, has it changed? I mean... I think the people who love Surface and love this device particularly are going to run out and grab it, and I think they'll be happy.
Yeah, we have people like Alex Gumpel just love their Surfaces, and will undoubtedly buy an 8. You know,
and this honestly, for someone like me who's more of a traditional laptop user, like realistically, I'm not really going to use the pen. I'm not going to take notes or anything like that. I do like the typing experience in the trackpad quite a bit. I love that it's finally like laptop sized. It's a 13-inch screen. So to me, it's less of a compromise than it was before. It still has all the lap ability, sameness of before, of course, all that stuff. But give me a couple weeks before I can say my impression of Surface overall has changed.
So you do like the keyboard on Surface Pro
devices? I do,
devices?
Yeah.
You do? You don't find it really bouncy? Yeah. No.
So obviously it's a little more bouncy than a hardware. It's a hardware keyboard, but you know what I mean? Like a keyboard base by nature. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's angled off the ground and you know? I'm monster hands, heavy hands. I beat on the thing, but I don't find it overly bouncy. it's not like, you know, if you've ever been in a car trying to use the computer, it's fast. Like it's like, you know, you're actually causing the mouse cursor to go flying on the side. It's not like that. I mean, it's, it is definitely bouncier, but I still like it quite a bit. It's amusing to me. And I mentioned this in my signature keyboard article. Mm-hmm. You know, when you go back to the original Surface, Microsoft thought that the thing we all forget about, the touch keyboard, thought this was going to be the big thing. And this was just a cover that when you put it down, there was just a flat keyboard layout on the thing. But it was the experience was just like typing on glass. And looking at it today, you're like, well, why would you ever want something like this? Because everyone was typing literally on glass using an iPad before this. Mm-hmm. And it covered up 2/3 of the screen. So the idea is we'll take that experience and take it off of the screen. Mm-hmm. You can see the whole screen. And you could use it as a protective cover when you're walking around with it. And it made a lot of sense. Except that it didn't in real life because everyone was like, this is terrible. Why would I want to do this? Yeah. You have a great type cover that works wonderfully.
Yeah.
You know, comparatively, I guess.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm okay with it. Like, I could use it. I mean, it's not optimal.
It's not my lappable type of work. Either, right?
It's not lappable. Yeah. I'm tall, but I think I also have short upper, the upper part of my leg is kind of short. Compared to the rest of my body, if that makes sense. So, well, but it just means, you know, I can't rest. When I use a laptop, it has to kind of hang off the edge of my knees and the weight of my hands on the keyboard stops it from toppling over. I can't do that with Surface Pro because it's a magnet connection. Right. You know, like that would, you know, it's still a tablet. So the heaviness is on the top.
I'll just say again, there's a reason laptops are called laptops.
Right, right. That's true.
Work. They just work.
Yeah. But you know what? I use it up on the bed and, you know, instead of using the kickstand, you can just lean it against the wall. Works great. If you were on a plane and you just wanted to watch movies and stuff, you could rip the keyboard right off and that thing would fit wonderfully no matter what kind of seat you had, you know? I mean, there are reasons.
Oh my God, there's a giant cat. He's so funny. He really knows where you are and what you're doing. That's so funny.
He does. Yeah. He's
like a Harryhausen
right
special
down
effect.
Yeah, really. It was
it's
like
release the Kraken.
Yeah.